was created in 1987 by an employee named Steve Wilhite at CompuServe, which, for those of you who are don't remember or too young to remember, was the first major commercial online service in the United States. And you'll be interested to know that the GIF was actually the first file format to accommodate color images. And in order to accommodate the color, the structure of the format is actually can accommodate multiple files that are either layered together or can be delayed in time so that you get an animation. So this is not a video. This is actually a series of images, sort of like a little flip book that you flip through and see the drawings move. And it became very popular, especially as web browsing through Netscape and other early browsers brought the consumer to the web and allowed people to post their own content. The GIF, for, again, those of you who remember, became well-known for under-construction signs that were on pages that weren't working or, like, really, really kind of roughly drawn animated flames that would, like, make words catch on fire and the clip art that would flash on old MySpace pages that you'd kind of get to these pages and run away as quickly as you possibly could. And they became ubiquitous. But as soon as technology evolved and the JPEG and Adobe Flash and other file formats that could accommodate much more high-resolution images came into use, the GIF kind of went out of style, and you can see why. So you have this like cheesy globe turning, and then you have this beautiful Hubble image. I believe this is a JPEG, but you can see why the GIF kind of might have gone out of style. And also with YouTube, you know, the GIF as the was no longer the only moving image that you could support on a normal browser. But like most things on the internet, the GIF did not completely die and became ripe for rediscovery. So fast forward 25 years and bring us to 2012, which was the year of the first truly social US presidential election and the first truly social Olympics. And it was a time when the TV industry was being disrupted. Many people weren't watching video, weren't watching these events on TV through the normal channels. They were looking for ways to follow these events online. And there are more and more tools for amateur creators than ever before. So it was a recipe for a revolution. And many would say that that revolution was the GIF revolution. I don't know if you can read this, but this is a quote from one of the many pieces written about the animated GIF last year in the US. More compelling than a static photo and more immediate than web video, the animated GIF is a uniquely digital mode of conveying ideas and emotion. Like the Twitter hashtag, the animated GIF has gone from a simple file type to its own mode of expression. GIFs have grown up, and they're everywhere right now. So much so that the OED actually named the animated GIF the GIF Word of the Year in 2012 in the US, beating out such important words as Superstorm and Higgs boson and YOLO and Eurogeddon and Super PAC. And, you know, the Word of the Year is really designed to kind of choose a word that captures the zeitgeist of that particular year. It was also accepted as a verb by the Oxford Dictionaries, to GIF. So it's official, it's a renaissance. But why is it a renaissance? And just to give you a sense of how important it is, Tumblr actually has done several GIF-focused original initiatives, including live GIFing the presidential debates, which is there on the left, and a couple of really interesting GIF art auctions and GIF art exhibitions that took the animated GIF and actually brought it into the real world, displayed at the Miami Art Basel exhibit, as well as some online auctions of sort of ephemeral art that you can't actually own, but people still paid a lot of money for. But why now? Like, what is the GIF about, and why is it so important? And you know, and really I'm using the GIF, and I think the importance of the GIF is that it's unique to this cultural moment and this moment of our digital media environment, and it sort of plugs perfectly into a lot of the trends that we're seeing. So this is the reaction GIF, which was popularized, if not originated, by a blog on Tumblr called What Should We Call Me?, which is just screen grabs, video grabs of GIFs from popular culture with titles superimposed on them that show how those moments explain an emotion that's pretty universal. And I think this, you know, this is about tapping into the collective unconscious or conscious, about playing upon mashup culture and plugging into mashup culture, allowing people to connect with culture and connect culture to things that are relevant to people's lives, and putting emotions and ideas in context. We talked a lot about emotion today, and you know, there's nothing better than seeing the thing that you feel just like perfectly summed up by a moment. It's also become an original art form that taps right into the nostalgia of this cultural moment. You can see in other cultural forms, we're seeing a return to old formats, the 8-bit format, lo-fi, going back to film in filmmaking, and obviously it's sort of a specialty kind of indie culture, but it's something that in this digital environment where, you know, we're constantly pushing forward and there are new things every single day, there's something very comforting and creatively exciting about going back. And the creative constraint of the infinite loop and adding motion to an image can just be incredibly powerful for photojournalism or other types of art. This is actually a form of animated GIF called the cinemagram, where you can actually choose just a small portion of an image or a video to animate in GIF form. So everything else is static, and then there's just this one piece of movement, waves on a beach, or a ball spinning, or someone's hair flowing in the wind. And the infinite loop is really powerful because if you choose to engage with it, if you choose to sit there and watch it over and over again, it has that cinematic quality, and it sort of allows you to sit with a single moment over time, and the meaning can change, and your relationship to it can change. And of course, it has been, as I mentioned before, and as Poynter pointed out, it's grown up. It's become this tool for storytelling by journalists, by political campaigns, by nonprofits and campaigners of all types. It has been called the modern political cartoon. You can also think of it as the modern political soundbite that plugs right into a political culture, especially in the U.S., that's so visually oriented and so kind of small moment oriented, for better or worse, that the GIF is kind of a perfect expression of that. In this case, you know, Obama's swagger just goes on and on and on. And this GIF was used to launch the White House's Tumblr, which was launched on the day of the White House Correspondents' Dinner. And this was actually a clip of Obama's video from the dinner that no one had yet seen. So they kind of teased that video with the launch of the Tumblr. So it's this uniquely digital mode of expression that grabs our attention. You know, this is, and we've kind of touched on this in other ways, but maybe no one has articulated it yet. We are living in an attention economy. The fact that media has been so democratized by social media is really empowering and wonderful, but it also means that when brands with a lot of money and legacy media and new media and startups and nonprofits and individual activists are all using the same tools and on the same platforms, that there's that much more competition for people's attention. And in an attention economy, you know, the key is no matter what you are and what message you're trying to get out, is grabbing people's attention when there's so much else going on. And the GIF, because it tells a whole story and doesn't require an opt-in to see that story and experience that story, is a really powerful way of grabbing people's attention. You know, if a picture is worth 1,000 words, What can 60 frames do? You know, and that's what's so powerful about the storytelling potential of a moving image that, again, doesn't require someone to press play to choose to engage. It plays right into our sort of attention deficit environment, not only competing for attention, but people not being able to sit still. It sort of grabs you, it calls out from your browser. It lowers the barrier to entry because, again, there's no opt-in. Barrier to entry as a viewer or a media consumer, but also as a creator. As I said, and I'll point out later, there are more tools than ever for anyone to create what used to be, before we had these tools, what used to be only available to those who were adept at Photoshop. But now there are iPhone apps left and right that allow you to create a cinemagram or a GIF from any experience, any event, anything that you're doing live, or a series of photos or a video that you've taken. It's a great way to tease a longer piece of content or to give people a snapshot of something that you're experiencing. And it's this amazing example of the connection between high and low culture that we're seeing explode across the internet, that's very much at the core of how millennials are expressing themselves and consuming and sharing content on the web today. Imagine how exciting it is to see, to be able to use a clip or a GIF from The X Factor to express, you know, some really important idea or emotion that you're trying to get across for your kind of serious issue. And I'll also kind of say, and I don't know how many of you are aware of this, but in the U.S., there's an organization, a company called Upworthy, which is now the fastest growing media company in world history, which is exclusively content around social good and serious issues. And it uses GIFs and meme culture to package content on the web that's related to serious issues and current events and activism and make it spread. And part of what's so exciting about that is to show that that content around serious issues do not have to be boring and do not necessarily attract a smaller audience than any other kind of content. And as you can see from just the variety of ways of using the animated GIF, the possibilities are absolutely limitless. Another reason why this is the moment when the GIF has resurged is arguably because of Tumblr. And this story that I'm telling is not, I'm not going deep into the Tumblr product, although I would love to talk to any of you about that if you're interested. But it is important because, as in the past, platforms can be the ecosystem in which some of these new mediums become popular. Arguably, MySpace was the reason that YouTube became so big, because it was the platform on which people were sharing these videos. Tumblr is arguably the reason why Instagram exploded, because when Instagram didn't have a web-facing experience, people would connect their Instagrams to their Tumblrs and use Tumblr as the publishing platform so that people who weren't following them on Instagram could actually see the photos they were taking. So these platforms have been really important for propagating new tools, new creative tools, and Tumblr is absolutely one of those and is right now the only platform, I think us and Google Plus are the only platforms that support the animated GIF. So it's very much, it's also a platform for creators and a platform that empowers creation. And so our core audience in the early days, before it went totally mainstream, were really the folks who were pioneering these new media, forms of media. And just to give you a little bit of context for Tumblr, which is a social blogging platform that is both a publishing platform and a social network. And I bring this up in part because Tumblr really touches on every single issue of digital storytelling that we're talking about today, from publishing to commenting to audio and video and user-generated content and curation and journalism. We can talk more about that later. But to give a little context, there are almost 150 million blogs, about 300 million unique visitors a month, 80 million posts a day, About 45% of our users globally are between 18 and 34. So these are, we get that there's a lot of buzz about Tumblr as a platform for teens, but really it's young adults who are, you know, not just sort of your rabid social media consumers, but also actual consumers, people who are employed, people who have disposable income who can be donors and volunteers and be kind of meaningful participants in the work that you do. Most importantly, Tumblr really excels at engagement. And this is on pretty much any metric that you could use to measure engagement online. And increasingly, and I'm sure you're all noticing this, you know, we're moving away from looking at those raw numbers and looking at what numbers are really meaningful. And this is obviously one that is. So in terms of minutes per visit, in terms of minutes per day, in terms of the amount of pages that people are viewing per visit or per day, Tumblr kind of blows everyone else out of the water. And really the most important thing is that not only is this an incredibly engaged audience online when they're logged in, but it translates into engagement offline. These are not just kids who are sitting in their bedrooms in their pajamas, like spending all their time on the internet. These are influencers in their communities, and that translates to activism, political engagement. There's a similar stat around donations as well. So these are folks who are engaged in the world. They're engaged in their communities, and I use this statistic very often to debunk the idea that online activism is not a meaningful type of activism, because folks who are certainly of this demographic who are engaged online are also engaged offline. And obviously, charities can gift too, now that I'm allowed to use gift as a verb. And what does that look like? I mean, I think again, it's limitless, but just to give you a few examples, you know, you can play the What Should We Call Me game as well. You can, you know, take a moment, take a meme, and apply it to something that you're trying to communicate. This is from Planned Parenthood's really fantastic and wonderful Tumblr, just as a thank you to a user who was enthusiastic about the services that they were providing on their blog. Use it to explain complex ideas. Think about it as a more accessible version of video. Think about taking a video that you're creating and turning the storyboards into a GIF, or taking excerpts from the video, or taking some of the graphics or charts that you were going to put in your video and animating them as a GIF. You know, you can really tell a full story from beginning to end and get a lot of information in there in just, you know, a few hundred frames, and make it engaging. I'm seeing everyone from, you know, individual activists to the World Bank doing things like this. And again, capture astounding moments. I mean, there's just nothing more mesmerizing than seeing a great image that has some movement to it, to mark a milestone, to show scale, to demonstrate enthusiasm and connect people to what's happening. And just generally, so often nonprofit websites are, you know, run by a third party, and it's really hard to, you don't control the content management system, and it's really hard to kind of go through your partner to update the website. But we're seeing more and more research, actually a study that just came out in the US this year, that 75% of millennials are turned off by a nonprofit website that hasn't been updated recently. So these, you know, static sites that hold a lot of really important information are great and important, but part of what these other platforms allows you to do is to bring your brand and your story to life and give you tools that are accessible to anyone in your organization to take the organization's message and incorporate it into, you know, regular and daily storytelling and communications. And we see on Tumblr, because of the unique kind of publishing plus social media function of Tumblr, that a lot of organizations and governments are using Tumblr as basically an extension of their website and a place where they can do all the things that they wish they could do on their website but can't. And GIFs can play into that. I mean, just look, you know, it's very subtle, but just to see a little bit of movement on a page with a lot of other content is in and of itself engaging, and it kind of makes you want to investigate. And there are many tools, as I said, at your fingertips, mobile tools, desktop tools, to put, you know, this art form, to make it accessible and in your hands.